With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, and welcome to the Masked Singer Wrap-Up Podcast. We are here to talk about the premiere of Season 5. We're back at it again. Masked Singer Season 4 came and left. The Masked Dancer came and left. And now we're here to talk about what they're calling, I don't know if you've heard, the game-changing season of Season 5, The Masked Singer. Really excited to be back. I am your host, of course, Puya the Golden Ear, Zan Bikili. And with me, as always, I'm never alone. I've got my ride or die, my sidekick, my partner in crime, partner in rhyme. It's Liana, the earbuds, Boris. Liana, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic because that's right. The Masked Singer is back. I didn't know it was game changing. I didn't realize that we were watching another Survivor season, but I have higher hopes for this season of The Masked Singer than I did for Game Changers of Survivor because I had a blast watching this. It brought out a lot of emotions. Good and bad in me, which I think is the mark of a great show. So here we are, and I have been looking forward to this all day.
Same. I've been very keen to come back and talk about this. I've watched the episode twice now, and it only got better in my second watch, which is great, which is a good sign usually. And I can't decide, honestly, whether or not it's because The Masked Dancer makes you appreciate The Masked Singer more. Because I will say, watching this, I was like, oh yeah, this is high quality production. Whereas I feel like with The Masked Dancer, it's not like that, really.
Okay, so I'm really happy that you brought this up because, first of all, I just want to preface this by saying that this episode of The Masked Singer was so goofy and so weird and so stupid, but in only the way that The Masked Singer could be. But it was goofy and stupid in more of a fun way for me, I think, than The Masked Dancer was. The Masked Dancer almost set me up to be like, okay, now we're coming back to the serious show. You know, The Masked Singer, where we're serious about our show. And we start out with the freaking Russian dolls and then the snail, and then we'll get to the reveal. So it just sort of put me back in the mindset, the mind frame of thinking about, okay, what truly is The Masked Singer, especially in contrast to The Masked Dancer? It's still silly, it's still goofy, but yes, it is maybe a little bit more like the you know, I don't know, the designer brand version instead of the knockoff.
Yeah, I think that ultimately for me, this is the show I fell in love with. This is the show that I wanted to talk about, that I get to talk about. So automatically, it's different than The Masked Dancer. And I do think that even though it's meant to, you're meant to take it more seriously, or that's how they perceive it, it's clear that they care more about it because there's way more planning done here. There's way more production done here. So I'm excited. Like,
just because it's the one that they take more seriously doesn't mean it's not stupid and silly and fun. You know what I mean?
No one is saying it's a serious show.
But it's a game changer. It's
I don't know what changed the game. Changing. If it's Cloodle Do or if it's the tour bus, like.
Oh my god. Okay, that's the one thing that I feel like they didn't work that hard on, which was the tour bus, because clearly it had a track where it was supposed to run, but somehow it ended up like driving out of the track up to hit Nicole, which was hilarious, but I believe unplanned. That's the one thing I will say they may have skimped on.
Well, we're going to talk about that and more here. I'm very excited. So let me just quickly say out the gate, for those of you who are new to our coverage, first of all, welcome. Hope you have a fun stay here. If you would like to leave a rating and review, you can do so over at robiswebsite.com/maskedsinger, MASKEDSINGER. Would be very much appreciated. Now, I want to preface the coverage before we go any further to let people know kind of what they can expect listening to us. Cause I know that some people, the way they enjoy their Masked Singer is they watch it. They don't know what's happening. They don't know who's who. And like, they want to like get surprised by the show itself. The way we approach it is we do investigative work independently. And we do it like, so with no, let me give you examples, no Reddit, no forum boards, no other people's recommendations, other people's clues, nothing. We look up stuff ourselves based on the clues that we listen to, and that's it. So there is a chance that at some point in the show, whether it's in episode 4, 5, 6, we'll be like, oh, I think this person is this person based on these clues. That could very well happen, but rest assured, it is not confirmed until an unmasking happens, because I don't, unless you feel very confident about what I'm saying, it's not going to be the case. So for example, last year we had the mushroom, and within minutes I was like, it's Pharrell. It's Pharrell. It's Pharrell. Episode 1, I called Pharrell. Episode 3, still Pharrell. Episode 5, still Pharrell. Episode 7, I was like, oh, it's not Pharrell. So things go up and down here. So come for the ride with us. We don't really, you know, we're not diving into any spoilers off the internet for sure. And then the other thing is, if you would like to leave questions or ask things for us to answer on the podcast, you can do that over on social media or in the RHAP patron group. It's welcomed. I do ask one request, and that is, do not give us your guesses / if you found out who is who, don't tell us, because then it keeps the hunt going fresh for us, and we're able to navigate the show better that way, make it more fun for you that way. Liana, did I miss anything there?
No, I think you nailed it. And we're also going to have fun.
Yes, I love that you keep saying this, like we've been treating this show like 60 minutes or something. You're like, we have fun. We're loosey-goosey here.
Because in contrast to everything else that I... And like, the thing is that it's not like I even cover serious shows. I talk about Drag Race, which, yes, of course, has very serious topics that get addressed. But at the same time, you know, it's incredibly silly. But The Masked Singer is just a whole nother level. And I have to remind myself that that's the world that I'm living in. And so I need to reframe. For example, when a puppet is on the show as a contestant, I need to remember that this is fun. It's the Masked Singer. It's silly. It's stupid. This is what we're supposed to do here. So it's more a reminder for myself.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, listen, I love that. I mean, this is one of those podcasts where I'm always like, I can't believe I get to sit here and talk about the merits of being a porcupine or a robopine.
I'm sorry, you mean robopine.
Yeah. Well, it's the right level of goofy, stupid, fun. And when we get into it, analytical, because I can't help myself. And I'm going to talk about what I thought about some of these performances, of course. Now, speaking of performances, right out the gate, new host for the starting half of this season. As we talked about in the preseason, Nick Cannon tested positive for COVID right around the start of the season, had to take an absence, and Niecy Nash took over his place. And I have to say, she killed it. I loved her, and I would like for her to stay.
Yeah, I'd actually be fine with that as well, because at the intro, she's like, yeah, maybe we'll see you later in the season. I'm like, or not. That's fine. I'm fine. I'm fine with her staying as our guest host. Yeah, I'm cool with that. I think we should also point out, like, not only is Niecy Nash taking over, at least for the beginning part, as the guest host, I think that's also important in case anybody hasn't heard about the format of this season, because it's going to be a little bit different, which is, I assume, part of the reason why they keep calling it a game-changing season, but I'm not sure. So we're going to start out with groups A and B, sort of typical to what we've done before, where there are 5 contestants in each group, and then there are also 4 wild cards, which are contestants who will enter the competition throughout the run of the show. We don't know when, but they have a chance to unseat another contestant. So interested to see how this is going to turn out. Of course, the initial non-twist liking reality TV watching person inside me is like, get this away from my screen. But you know what? It's the 5th season. Sure. Let's change the game.
Yeah. So it's an interesting concept in theory, right? You can challenge for someone's spot. This is great until someone gets white tigered, and then I'm sad. But we'll see. We'll see. Here's the thing. For as much as we knock them on their lack of format, on the randomness, on some of the selections of who stays and who leaves, I enjoy the fact that they keep trying to find the right formula, because I think that the closest, in my opinion, that they had to the best formula was season 2. Mm-hmm. But I am very willing to see them test stuff out until we land on maybe something better. Who knows?
What was the season that was super long? Was that 3, the one where I got really upset because it was so long?
3 went on forever.
Yes. Okay. All right. That's the only season I don't like. Everything else has been fine. But yeah. And then, of course, which I didn't know this was coming, but we also have the non-contestant Cloodle do, who is going to give out extra clues just for us, I guess.
Yeah. So it's like, I'm the Cloodle do, which, like, you know, they pick this because of the cock-a-doodle.
Oh, it's amazing.
And apparently we got challenged by the Cloodle-Doo mid-episode, and the Cloodle-Doo was like, you can't figure out who I am. And I've got it down to 2 people already. So,
okay. And why is one of them Joel McHale?
That is better. I don't have Joel McHale on my list.
Oh, okay. I was curious to know who the other one was, because I was like, oh, yeah. As soon as I started thinking about it, I was like, okay, it's either Nick Cannon in a mask.
Yeah, or Nick Cannon's one of mine.
Oh, okay. Or it's Joel McHale, but just because he's, or I don't know, I guess Will Arnett. But no, Joel McHale, I feel like, has been around more often, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, I think that it's fun. It's another extra costume. I think that's the thing, is that if we're looking at it, we technically have a cast of 14, but it's 10 participating at any given time kind of thing. So I think adding random masked people around the block to like unveil, we like a good unmasking. So it's fun.
Yeah, I'm just nervous in case one of my faves goes up against one of the wild cards and gets eliminated, I'm going to cry over the Masked Singer. Like, I am not above that.
Yeah. Well, this actually brings a good quick note to bring up. So we will be doing a draft, but we've decided to wait until next week's performers so we can see everyone available and then do our draft then.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm very excited about it. Okay, Liana.
Okay.
So same 4 judges again. I'm okay with this. This is fine. I cringed when Ken Jeong said, yes, mommy. That was not great. I did not love that.
Yeah.
It took me right back to him saying,
Daddy, don't eat it. Daddy, don't eat it.
Yeah.
That was him.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's just jump into the first performer now. Let's just talk.
Okay.
Why are you laughing?
No, because, you know, Ken be Ken.
Ken B. Kenning. Okay. Can you start us off with the Russian doll?
Okay, the Russian dolls. So this was one of the first costumes that I had seen. So in terms of the masks getting released, it had somehow completely slipped my radar when all of them got released, because as far as I knew, I had seen 5 of them. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, now 10 of them are out. Oh, and the premiere's tomorrow. And I was like, wait, when did this happen? But the Russian dolls were one of the masks that we had seen. And I think the biggest question was, how many of them are going to be in this costume? Are there going to be multiple dolls? Are there multiple people inside? Are they going to somehow like do the little like, clop, 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 you know, and they like come apart? Is that going to happen? Here's my current guess. There's at least 2, maybe 3 is my current thought process based on the song. I can't tell, but there's definitely at least 2. So I'm happy that we're getting our next set of the snow owls, like the next iteration of the snow owls. But of course, they're just limited by the costume. Like the big one can't really move all that much. At least its mouth opens. The smaller one can walk around, but as far as I can tell, all it can do is snap, which we're not going to a poetry jam sesh. So like, unless you're going to be laying down, some beatnik vibes, I don't really know how much the snapping is going to add to the performances.
My biggest complaint about the snow owls last season was that they couldn't move, and I thought it was a missed opportunity. Having seen the Russian doll, I changed my mind. The Russian doll, the little one creeping towards me, was terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, it has the same eyes and face fixture of like the creepy dolls from Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
So I don't love that automatically. It's terrifying. And like, I don't like that
I think half the audience is like, wait, there's two of them? Because I don't think half the audience realizes that the second one's also singing, just doesn't move its mouth. So I like the look of the first one better for some reason.
Oh, the one who's the one who doesn't move, but the mouth moves.
Yeah, because at least it's like the mouth is moving.
Yeah, so like this is super fascinating to me because it's not like the mouths move on any of the other singers, right? Except for, I guess, Baby Alien. But I think there's something about it not having like a more well-defined face. I don't know exactly what it is, but I was like, I need the mouth to move. Now I get where the Baby Alien's mouth moves. Like the snail needed a mouth to move.
I think that if it's a 3D mouth, it's more acceptable that it doesn't move because it's like, okay, there's lips.
Okay, okay, sure.
Like it that comes out, it's like a feature. Whereas with the Russian doll, it's all flat. So it's like, it's like watching. It's like if I held a poster in front of my face and sang, you're like, well, that doesn't do anything for me.
But you're Enrique Iglesias. You held up the the mask. And then also the thing is that we watched this together first, like when it premiered, to watch watch it live. And it did take me a long time. I was convinced that only one person was singing at first. And then because the mouth wasn't moving, they got me, gals. I really had to go back and re-listen to it several times to like try to really hear how many people I thought were singing.
Mm-hmm. It's two.
So it could be two, but the foreshadowing of like maybe there's three in there, maybe that's the like fun reveal later on.
I fully expect there to be more than two people when we get further down. I don't think it's just going to be two people. I do think we're being set up for there to be like a third Russian doll at some point.
Oh, but you're saying like maybe there's only two right now and they'll add a third later or something?
Yeah. I didn't hear a third voice, but I've also thought about there's no way you're going to tell me this concept is Russian doll and there's only two of you.
Yeah. You know? Right. Exactly. Like, why would you pick a Russian nesting doll then?
Like, you could have been the Rock'em Sock'em robots and what would have been two, like one blue one, one red one. And that's your two right there.
This
opens the door for plurality. So I think that's why.
One of the things that made me think that there could be three in the big doll was that when they were answering the question, which one makes the decisions, it sounded like two different modulated voices coming out of the big doll. Like there was like a first voice, it cut away, and then there was a second voice. Or that's what I thought. I could be completely reading into this. I'm going with that there's two for now, but I wouldn't be, I'm like mentally preparing myself for if there's a third, I'm like ready for it.
I would love if they make it to the finals. Like every week they're there, it's a new person added. And then by the finals,
there's eight of them. Well, I was counting because when they do the little graphic at the bottom, there's a total of five.
Yes. But there were five total.
The clues. So we can get into the clues and the performance and all that stuff. There's just so much to talk about. For the clues, the top clue that was given by Cluckle Doodle Cloodle Doo or whatever his name was, it says that they can replicate to 15 of them.
Yeah, so let me say my piece about Cloodle Doo. Cloodle Doo has taken over before it used to be the strengths and weakness of the costume, and they were just vague things about the act. Like for Frog, it would be like strength, amphibian, weakness, tadpoles. Like it would be something like that. So I think that it's of that kind of fame where it's just a factual.
No, I disagree. I think they're real clues.
What do you mean 15 what fits in them?
I think they have like 15 kids or like they are a total of like 15 of them that are part of like a sibling trio or something. Or like there's 15 members in their band or something.
I think it's a real replicate
makes me think of children. Because they reproduced and they had 15 children.
We'll talk about the eliminated one later, but we need to go back and look at the intro line from Cloodle Doo for that one.
Is a national treasure was the one, which totally is a real clue.
Oh yeah, a snail is not a that's an exclusive clue to us. Smart.
Yeah, exactly. Smart. Exactly. So it's legit.
15. So it's either 15 and that's okay. That makes more sense now.
Okay. But I don't think it's actually going to be 15 people because I want to get to when we start to, okay, whatever. We'll just talk about it now. So the total description where they talk about like, there's 26 Grammy nominations and nine multi-platinum singles and Oscars and, you know, Super Bowl, blah, 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 whatever. The last description is 146 toes. Okay. So how many toes do you think Kermit has? Zero. He's got zero toes, right?
Know that. How do you know that?
Well, I don't know, but he's a frog. Frogs don't have toes. Do frogs have toes? Wait, let me Google it. Do frogs have toes?
I don't care about frogs. How many?
I assumed he was just like
Kermit
webbed.
Has five fingers.
Yeah, but how many toes does he have? Oh, the back legs have five toes each. Okay, so let's say he's got five. Okay, fine. Include Kermit. 146 divided by 10 is 14.6. There is no way that our 10 contestants have 14.6 toes. Now, the only question is whether or not our other contestants are included in that.
What do you mean?
Right?
Other than the four wild cards. Well, then it's still 10.4 toes.
Right, which then I assume someone's got an extra toe. Or maybe I was trying to figure out how many people were in based on the number of toes, essentially. But I kept always getting some odd number. So someone's either lost a toe or someone's got an extra toe or
this
something.
This is the most Liana segue to researching I've ever seen.
Well, I was trying to figure out how many
patrol?
People. Look, I'm not Enzo's foot stalker or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, let me see your little feeties, yo. Like, what are you doing?
Maybe Kermit has zero toes because he's a Muppet. Oh, no, he's got feet, though, because they have him, like, sit on stuff. Okay, well, anyway, I need to know whether or not this includes the wild cards because I'm trying to figure out how many people are in this Russian doll situation.
Tell me about their clue package, I beg. I beg you tell me about their clue
I want to talk more about the toes.
What is there to talk about?
Nothing. Anyway, I just think it's actually super important. Okay, so let's all keep in mind because I don't know. Like, okay, so as people get revealed, I think we need to start keeping track of how many toes they have so then we can start crossing people off the list. Anyway, next, moving on.
I don't want to play this little piggy one to market with the contestants.
Fine. Okay, well, the piglet is going to be next week, which is creepy, by the way, but fine, we'll get there. I will keep track of the toes. That will be my job.
Okay.
Hey, I'm the toe czar.
Totally, dude.
I need to think of a good title. Okay, I'll consider my options. Alrighty, so let's get into the rest of the Russian doll's clues. So, why are you laughing?
Did we start about the Russian doll's clues?
You know, I talked about how they can replicate to 15 of them, which I do believe is children. But anyway,
up
that's
to 15 means there's a cap, though. Like, is it like a group, but they've all gotten vasectomies? Like how there's
no,
a cap.
No, can replicate to 15 of them.
But like that sounds like there's a restriction on it.
Well, it sounds like 15. Oh, okay. So you're saying like they're done having children if they were to have children?
If the verbiage
well,
is
maybe
up
at
to,
one point the band had 15 people in it or something.
The band.
Well, okay. Well, that's fine. All right. Here, we'll get because I have a very specific line of logic that I'm thinking. And so okay. That's fine. Okay. So here are the things I noticed from the clue package. They talked about doing their own thing for a while, mm-hmm. which is very sort of typical for the Masked Singer. Also described that they at one point were the world's hottest toy. There was a carafe of milk. There was
that a jug? I thought it was a jug of milk.
Well, I would have described it as a carafe.
How do you spell that?
C-A-R-A-F-E. It's like a little bit fancier looking thing. Okay, well, maybe it's a jug. Does it matter? It's milk.
The carafe looks like more science-y.
No, it's not. No, it doesn't. It's not science-y. It's just like a thing of milk. It's got milk in it. The milk is for drinking. Okay, fine. It's a pitcher. It's a pitcher. A pitcher of milk.
Oh, it could be a pitcher. I don't think that matters.
Well, maybe they're baseball pitchers, okay? And it was important that it's a pitcher of milk. Anyway, there's a pitcher of milk. And then they talk about the puppet. There's like a puppet with strings, which are a weird neon color. So I don't know. That made me think the 80s. And then there's also a box that says The Office on it amongst a bunch of recycling boxes. Mm-hmm. And then they talk about how there were newer toys that came along, blah, blah, blah. They were cast aside. I noticed a boat. Wheel turny thing, and then coming to a country near you Garden State Highway, and then a Polar Express train looking thing. Those are all the things I noticed.
The Misfits toy store is the other thing I noticed as well.
Yeah, yeah.
The boat steering wheel. So yeah, all of this, listen, all of this, I don't have a name for that.
The boat steering wheel. Boat steering wheel. Name. Helm. The helm of the ship.
The helm. Okay.
Arrgh, meaty.
Okay. So we need more, right? We need more from them to see what it is and what it means, because I do think that we're going to get more from them. I want to make note of the fact that when they were showing the toys on the shelves, there were a lot of toys that had replicates of three.
Really? So,
well, if you look at almost every shelf of the Russian dolls, there's pretty much three on every shelf there. And then when there's a shelf with all the like random, like the robots, the teddy bears, there's a lot of like pairs of three. Three robots, three Jack in the Boxes, three teddy bears.
I don't think you call them pairs of three. I think a pair is just two. But
I know a pair is two, but you know what I mean.
Okay, yeah. I see three cars. I see three robots, three teddy bears, three Jack in the Boxes.
Like, not all the toys are threes, but that is something to keep an eye on. The fact that there's three of stuff could be a thing. But then, the snowfall, the helm, coming to a country near you. I think the whole country music thing might be a shout.
There are a bunch that are two, though, also, and some that are singular. So I don't know for sure.
Right. Like I said, I don't think that's a concrete clue. I just noticed that there was a bunch of threes. I don't have much. I don't have much on who I think this could be. I'm going to need way more information moving forward. So.
Okay, here's my logic behind who I think it is. And I don't have a solid list. I have a list, all right? So I think they're all men. I think they're all males. I think that they are brothers. And here's why. Their voices go together in such a beautiful way. They have to be related. They just have to.
I refuse.
Yes, they do. I refuse to accept any other answer apart from them being brothers. They have to be brothers.
Didn't you think that the Snow Owls were siblings last year and we got into some sticky situations with that?
I don't recall.
Do you not learn from the previous seasons?
They have to be. Look, here's the thing, though. The fact that I couldn't tell how many of them were singing to me indicates that their voices have to go together perfectly. I am convinced that they're brothers. So I Googled brothers in bands. I came up with a list, and then I've narrowed it down to several options based on the timing. Okay, one, the Black Crowes. They did that song, She Talks to Angels. There's two of them, Chris and Rich Robinson. They're both still alive. Could definitely be them. Okay, a little bit farther out pick, but what about Good Charlotte? What are Joel and Benji Madden up to? Could it be them? Are they coming back for their reunion tour? They were like hot shit in 2002. Now they're not. Now they're back. And now they want to be cool again. Could be Good Charlotte. Also, what about the Stone Temple Pilots? Also probably a further out guess. Dean and Robert DeLeo could possibly be them. Those are some possible options. Thoughts?
You are off your rocker with these guys.
No. Okay. Here's the one thing that's giving me a little bit of pause. That's two brothers. Okay. If it's three, that's a little bit harder because according to this website I went to, the Jonas Brothers are a set of three. It's obviously not the Jonas Brothers. It could be Devo, but I don't know if I need to check, but there's like a set of three of them that were all in Devo, but then there's two other brothers. So it's a little confusing. What if it's five of them, which could be like the five, but I would be shocked if it was Devo. The other option is Hanson, which is a good shout. They do have 15 kids amongst them. So if it does end up being they can replicate to 15 of them and it's correct, that could be the fit. The only problem is none of the other clues fit for me. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, all of this, your guesses are as good as mine. I don't have any really to throw down here.
I'm sticking with the Black Crowes until I know better. That's my like lock it in guess.
I have a feeling that you are probably in the right direction somewhere. I don't know if you've got the right pick, but I'll take your word for it. And we talked about the performance already. Man in the Mirror, Michael Jackson. I thought it was a good choice for an intro. I like the red background. I thought that fit really well. I did enjoy the infinite hallway behind them. That was a good touch. I've already mentioned I hated the little doll. I hated the walking little doll. Didn't
love that. Is it because it walks slowly towards you?
Yes. I was like, if I was in an alley and the little doll was approaching me, I would literally be like screaming out my mind. Like, it would be so scary. And like, I didn't like that the one hand was wearing the metallic glove, but the other hand wasn't. I get that it's a nod. But I didn't like the way it looked. And I didn't like it. I didn't like the little doll. So those are my takes.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. I loved this performance. I'm actually super obsessed with the Russian dolls. My only concern is that they lack that razzle dazzle and it's super creepy. But they give me like big turtle energy. You know what I mean? They're fulfilling that Kiss from a Rose Seal energy with their first performance of going Man in the Mirror with Michael Jackson. And they at the moment are the ones I'm really rooting for.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, they're not the ones I'm rooting for, like number one on the list at the moment. They could very well get there. I will say I'm less worried about their lack of razzle dazzle. Unlike the snow owls, they do have some mobility, and I think there's more of a novelty to them than there was with the snow owls. Like, do snow owls come in pairs? I still don't know why that. But Russian doll, good concept, especially if they do introduce a third or a fourth. Like, it's like, well, damn. Like, that's the thing I did not see happening. So I do think that that's a good shout. Let's look at the judges' guesses. The judges definitely not where you have been, Liana.
No, I don't know why they kept guessing women. Because once I don't know. They probably heard it once, which I could hear. They're definitely, it's a little bit more higher pitched. But when I re-listened to it, I did not hear that.
Yeah, well, to be fair to the judges, Ken said Gwen Stefani and Nicole said Vanessa Hudgens in a sea of like men guesses. So like, and then Boys to Men was also mentioned. I don't think it's any of them. And we'll have to see. We'll have to see. I don't have anything else on the Russian dolls unless you do.
Nope. That's all I got.
All right. Well, let's escargot to the next person. It's the snail. Here comes the snail.
That's so stupid.
What? That's stupid, but the show is also silly. So
I know, but I'm going to use it tomorrow. Just wait. Just you wait.
Oh, God.
Let's escargot to the store. I have to escargot to the bathroom. And then I'm going to walk slowly to really nail that joke. Ugh, I'm a genius. Okay, thank you. Yay!
This episode is made possible by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough outcomes. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you thrive. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at thenewequation.com.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
All right, so the snail comes through. Very interesting outfit. Now, I want to say right out the gate, I'm someone who doesn't know anything about Star Wars, but I immediately thought of that, like, the Jar Jar character.
Oh, Jar Jar Binks?
Of the Hutt. One of them looks very similar because of the eyes.
Oh,
I think it's the Jar Jar.
I think you're thinking Jar Jar Binks, yes. Okay, I thought you meant because it was like a slug
Oh, snail. No, it for sure looks like Jar Jar Binks. I just looked it up.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. That's who I was thinking about. So, yeah, the snail comes through and immediately I'm getting flashbacks to the baby alien because of the kind of like same features and face-ish kind of thing. And I was like, scared, a little bit scared. But what did you think of the snail?
Well, I think the shocker of putting the Russian dolls back to back with the snail. It's like, oh, my God, I didn't look closely enough at these costumes. Are we going to get any sort of, you know, I don't know, quote unquote, normal costumes this season? So that was kind of funny putting those two right up against one another. Okay, so for the clues that I got for the snail, the national treasure, and obviously a snail gets unmasked. So I tried to, like, when I did my rewatch and took notes, I tried to go through a lot of these clues to figure out what they meant. So we hear that the snail has acted, directed, produced, been on the Oscar stage, rubbed elbows with everybody. There was a teddy bear reference, which I assume is a Fozzie Bear reference. Mm-hmm. The jewels and seashells, I think, represented Treasure Island. Meatballs. I hope you can explain that one. And then, of course, oh, okay, good.
Yeah. So the meatballs was a they. So that was actually answered when Kermit was singing the music at the end.
Oh, and
it was like, it was like, oh, the Swedish meatballs are an ode to the Swedish chef from the Muppets. I was like, how am I supposed to know they're Swedish? How am I supposed to know they're IKEA meatballs?
They were not Swedish meatballs. Anywhere? Swedish meatballs are smaller.
Swedish meatballs are way more circular. This looked more like a brick. But that's whatever. It's fine. I will say also, let the audience know, we will be doing our vault guesses this season as well, like we did last season.
So
have that. Yeah, we should.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
Well, now I got to do that. For that?
What do you mean now you got to do
it? Am I supposed to talk about it?
You're in too deep.
We didn't discuss this beforehand.
I thought it was implied.
Okay, fine. I'll make them right now. Okay, I'm done.
I don't trust it.
Well, I already had two. It's just one that I really need to lock in.
Which is?
The Robopine.
Ah, interesting. Okay, cool. All right. So where were we? Yeah, so that was the snail's clues, I think, in hindsight, make sense. I don't think any of us thought that the show was going to go this way ever at all. What did you think of the snail's vocal performance of You Make My Dreams Come True by Hall & Oates?
I thought it was good. I enjoyed the performance. Listening to it back, you could definitely hear. You know, it's tough because I feel like whoever does Kermit's voice obviously is putting on a voice. So it was like they were trying to put on a voice, but also try to mask the voice that they're putting on, which kind of just ended up being whatever their normal singing voice was with little elements of Kermit the Frog in it.
It's got to be so hard to do a voice and then sing in that voice as well if you're usually talking in that voice.
Inside a snail.
Yeah, and like shake it around and stuff.
Oh, it was so cute. It was doing its best to really move and make Hall & Oates come alive and give some type of a razzle dazzle performance. And then at one point it kind of like snailed forward. The one little detail that I really liked was they tried to do on the stage a snail trail as it moved along, which I thought was super adorable.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
I don't know if they did it during the performance, but they definitely did it when the snail came out on stage for the first time.
Ah,
but that was kind of a cute little, you know, addition. I did not expect. I was like, oh yeah, the snail's good. I will probably hear them next week. I'm interested to hear what they look like when they're not putting on, you know, this voice that they're doing. But obviously at the time I didn't know the situation. And then for Jenny to say something about, oh, he's pushing out Kermit the Frog sounds, that makes so much more sense in retrospect.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, you know, it's Kermit the Frog. Wow.
So funny. It was so funny. And like I did make a note about the background. I did love the background for this performance. It was like these buckets of flowers just like toppled over. It was very nice. There was a nice rose petal shot at the end, like an explosion of confetti, rose petal confetti, which I did like a lot. Not in my wildest dreams could I have guessed this ever. Yeah. I don't care close it sounded to Kermit the Frog. Or should I say Kermit the Frog? I would have never guessed this. Never. No. So this was a baffling reveal to me.
Well, do you want to talk about it now or when we talk? So we watched it together. I got up and left. Oh
yeah. Liana stormed off. I don't want to talk about the why yet though, if we can help it.
Wait, what do you mean?
I think I don't want to talk about our outrage yet.
Oh, okay. I don't know, but I'll follow your lead.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Can we stop down real quick and talk about how much I hate, because I know we kind of briefly touched on it, but I hate the bus tour. I hate the bus tour. Like, the first episode of season 4, they did the vault train and I made fun of them for it. And ever since, they've gone out of their way to make me miss the vault train. The vault train was the best thing they had done in the season for these guesses. And I think this is so stupid. The train, the bus is awful. The Barbie dolls they've got looking like the little dolls looking like the judges don't even look like them. They're terrifying. I hate it.
The vault train was legit. And the problem is, because what's even the song that plays with the bus? On the Road Again?
Oh, on the Road, yes. On the Road Again.
Yeah, no, vault train's so much better.
Yeah.
Well, the vault train.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. Better. Oh, my easier. God. Oh, so much better. I miss the vault train. Bring back vault train.
Honestly, justice for vault train.
Justice for the vault train. I'm sorry we ever made fun of the vault train. We didn't realize it could get worse.
Well, I think that what they've proven to do is that they're going to give us a different one next week, right? Like, they're not going to keep the same one. So that's good, right? That's good.
I hope they bring the vault train back.
Yeah.
I doubt it, but I think it's probably going to be another sort of like car device perhaps, but I don't know. We'll see. I mean, look, it's silly. It's goofy. I miss the vault train, but it's fine.
Yeah. But you also loved Word Up. So you're
Word Up. the best.
This was a overall good performance. I thought this was a, you can stay level of performance for me. So
yeah,
fact that we figured out who it was bothers me.
I know it wasn't as good as the Russian dolls, but it obviously was not the worst performance.
Yeah, in hindsight, it was definitely not. In the moment, I was like, "Yeah, this is the second best performance we've heard today." That's how I felt. Mm-hmm. So then, do you have anything else you want to talk about with regards to the snail for now?
Jar of shame.
Yeah. So take it away.
Jar of shame. Okay, so, you know, and we've joked about this before, how, oh my God, it's potentially a black man with a smooth voice. It's got to be Jamie Foxx. Like, there's the guesses that they always guess, and we kind of laugh about it. I love the fact that the Matt Singer is willing to poke fun at themselves and give the gift of the jar of shame, where essentially if you guess, and then I like they also put Ken's guess of Bjork on there as well, just for good measure. It's like, if you make that guess, you have to put jar.
I think that the best of the four pictures there is Jamie Foxx for obvious reasons.
Right.
And then Bjork is 100% the Ken of it all. Ken is the one who like pushed Bjork in season 2, but hasn't really said it since. Johnny Knoxville must have come up more than I can remember because his face was there. And then Lindsay Lohan is the other one.
Yeah, that one I didn't get. The ones I would have added would have been Adam Lambert, for sure. Seth MacFarlane gets guessed an inordinate amount of time. So, and including in this episode. Someone's
funny or goofy looking, they're like, oh, it's Seth MacFarlane.
Oh, it's a comedian? It's got to be Seth MacFarlane. I would have put him on there. The Jamie Foxx one is, of course, a good shout. I would have put Wayne Brady before Wayne Brady. Zac Efron's a great one. Vanessa Hudgens is also a good one. I feel like they guess her all the time. Who else? I'm trying to think of other people that they guess all the time. Anyway, that would have been my starter list. So I'm hoping that those people are also included because Adam Lambert gets guessed far too often.
For the listeners, if you would like to add us right now, pause right now, add us some that you can think of that they've overused on guessing. That would be very much appreciated. That'd be a fun game to play. See what we can remember.
Escargot to your Twitter.
I've already used it, dude. Like, this is...
Okay.
Like your delivery's off. It's like you're not even selling it. You're not even seashelling it well.
Okay, well, I'll see you by the seashore. Stuff it.
Stop. Why?
I don't know. Just Just take me out of my misery. Just move on.
No, let's unpack. Okay. So the seashell is in the building. Would you like to take this one away?
Yes, let's go to the beach. All right. So clues for the seashell. When she was young, she was moved around, I guess, by her family or something. There was also a hot dog, but it was like light brown and kind of ugly. I mean, not ugly. It just didn't look like sort of a stereotypical red hot dog.
No,
it was think about it.
It's got to be a type, right? Like, what are types of hot dogs?
Oh, well.
Like, is it Chicago dog? Mm. Like, that kind of thing. Like,
I don't know about that, but it is part of the logic for my guess. But I want to get through everything else.
Okay, I see it. Okay, I think I know what kind of dog that's supposed to be.
Oh, okay. I don't know if that's right, but fine.
Go ahead.
All right. She says she never felt grounded, but found her peace by the shore. There was also a picture of a chameleon. Mm-hmm. Then somehow she became a massive success and then had a cowboy hat, wearing many hats, a witch's broom, nervous because she hasn't sang in a long time. And then when she was coming out of the shell, there was a bell that fell and like landed on screen.
A bell that fell.
A bell that fell. That's mm-hmm. swell. I'm going to go to the well.
I wish at the well for you to continue.
I need a rhyming dictionary.
You do not.
Oh, what's that smell? I'm feeling unwell.
Okay.
Oh, do tell.
So moving on from whatever just happened, I think that I'm looking at a list of hot dogs. Okay. It's like the hot dog guide.
Okay.
To see, cause like, I think the color is a little bit faded. It's a little bit different, but I think the key component of the hot dog we're looking at mm-hmm. is the onions, right? It's like the onion looking things on top. It kind of looks like a Dodger dog based on this photo I'm seeing.
I think it's a different color, though. And I mean, the relish, I guess, is really like the relish is the true mark
mm-hmm.
of this dog. So I don't know if it's on here. Well, this is not the Hawaiian hot dog that I looked at. So I Googled Hawaiian style hot dog. And let me tell you why.
Yeah, that's a weird thing to specifically look for.
I know. Okay, so I Googled Hawaiian hot dog. You know why? I saw the bell. And I was like, saved by the bell. And then I thought about the chameleon and I was like, that's almost close to a turtle. What about Lisa Turtle? And what if the Hawaiian style hot dog is saved by the bell, Hawaiian style? I don't know what anything else has to do with it, but like, eh? Lark Voorhees, who played Lisa Turtle from Saved by the Bell. Eh?
Are you actively trying to take your credentials down a step?
I tell me where I'm wrong.
In what world is a chameleon similar to a turtle?
I mean, we've seen weirder on The Masked Singer when it comes to clues.
By your logic, Chameleonaire should also be on your shortlist for this performer.
But doesn't meet the other criteria, so rule them out. They see me rolling, they see me hating, okay?
Your energy's weird today, dog.
Like a hot dog.
You're giving me weird vibes today. No, I don't see. So I don't subscribe to that. I don't think I don't think the bells. And because then what's the witch's broom about?
Lark,
what's the cowboy
Voorhees.
Hat about?
Let me just go to our IMDb page. I'm sure at some point in Saved by the Bell, there was some type of witch thing. Let's see. Okay. She was in Bold and the Beautiful. Maybe she played a witch on Bold and the Beautiful. She was, I don't know. Like, I'm sure there's some. I don't know.
I think that this is someone who is, I don't know. I really liked what I heard from the seashell. Like, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm focusing on the chameleon clue. I think this is someone who can do more than one thing and is known for more than one thing. So That's definitely something I'm going to be looking at moving forward. The cowboy hat, I'm not going to let it dictate anything for me, because last time I focused on a cowboy hat, I went down the Pharrell route. It was not Pharrell, so not making that mistake again. And then I think the witch's broom matters, and the bell is interesting, but also, like, I don't know if it's supposed to be a bell, if it's supposed to be like, if it's a nod to like Philadelphia, if it's supposed to be a nod to like ringing of a bell or like sound of the bell, or like, you know, because like the seashell is in like in this clip is in like a clam. But like, is that a clam bell? Alexander Graham bell? Like, there's so many. Kristen Bell. Like, there's too many things, that directions that could be. So I think that's too vague for me right now. What I can tell you with confidence is that we're going to be hearing and seeing more clues from the seashell, because the seashell is phenomenal and shelled out quite a performance on the debut here.
Yeah, I was impressed. I was happy that she was able to get over the nerves, because obviously at the start, you can tell she's very nervous. But I felt like as the song progressed, she was really able to just step into her element. I think she's a fabulous singer.
I think so, too. And I think that it's someone older, like more seasoned. And like, I got that just off the tone of voice. I was like, you can tell there's knowledge in this voice. So
like, how older?
Like maybe in the 40s.
Okay. All right. So still,
like,
okay.
In like the late 30s to like late 40s.
Okay. I thought you were like, oh, like 60s, 70s. I was like, I did not get that.
No, I did not get that at all. I liked the window that the seashell was singing in front of. And then I liked that the dancers were dressed like curtains. That was funny. Mm-hmm. That was cool. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, it matched the motif. What did you think of the... So I will say the one thing I did not like about the seashell is that when they close up on the seashell's face, I can notice her chin moving from underneath the mask. And that I did not enjoy.
They've definitely had this problem a few times where if you look, especially at the right angle or the right shot, you can see either... You can see a little bit of movement, or maybe in some cases you can kind of try to make out like their skin tone or features or something like that. I try to just ignore it because I didn't notice it all that much. But when you really focus in on it, yeah, you can definitely see it.
Yeah, which I didn't like. I tried not to care about too much. What did you think of the fact that the seashell has one eye in the form of a starfish?
Oh, I think that's so cool. I actually think the costume is really pretty. I especially love the heels. I think that really just makes, like, elevates the whole outfit. You know, she is the type of seahorse singer to me that if I had just looked at the costume, I would have been like, oh, yeah. And not just because they're both nautically themed. I feel like they are both really pretty, really gorgeous costumes. I wonder if she's going to be getting any costume changes, like changing around the skirt or something like that. But
I could see that.
Yeah, but overall, yeah, really pretty.
Yeah, I really like it. I really like it. And I think also the other thing to note is that she was the third performer we saw, and she was the first one to have legs. So that was nice. It was like, oh, back to a regular costume, not like the Russian dolls and the snail with like wheels underneath you and stuff. I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm saying with the snail and the Russian dolls being back to back was a choice.
Yeah, I agree. What did you think of the guesses from the judges? Did any of them seem plausible to you?
Honestly, I don't remember them, but I remember rolling my eyes at them.
Kristen Chenoweth, Hilary Duff, and Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah, no.
No, okay. No. Well, there we go. And then here I've written in my notes, Cloodle Do is Nick Cannon.
Is that when you figured out that it might be Nick Cannon?
I think it's Nick Cannon. And the other one I wrote down was it could be Terry Crews.
Terry Crews?
Yeah.
Cloodle Do?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I feel like it doesn't have his build, though. He's more slender.
Could we see a build underneath it?
Well, you can tell when they introduce the concept of the Cluckle Doo, then you can see the body.
Is it the Cluckle Doo or the Cloodle Doo?
The Cloodle Cluckle Doo, the Cloodle Doo, Cloodle Doo, Cloodle, Cloodle Doo, Cloodle Doo. Cloodle Doo.
I'm looking at the Cloodle Doo.
It's Cloodle Doo.
So dumb.
Hey girl, Cloodle Doo. No. Baby boo.
No. I don't know. The Cloodle dude looks like it could be Terry Crews.
It's not impossible.
It's far less possible now. It's far less possible looking at it now. Mm. I'm more close on the Nick Cannon anyway. So
yeah.
Because I mean, I think it could be Nick Cannon. Anyways, that's not important. What's important is for us to jump into the trash bag in the backyard and rummage through the garbage to talk about the raccoon.
Uh-huh. I don't know how to start this.
I can. Let me preface this by saying this was the worst performance we've ever had in the history of The Masked Singer. Easily the worst. I hated the costume from the beginning. I couldn't believe that when the first three notes hit, I was like, what is going on? You are assaulting my ears. Stop it. Like, you know what's bad when I'm almost like, but at least the white tiger was goofy. You know what I mean? Like, where was this was wild and not because of the song was wild thing. This was just wild.
I need to go back and re-listen to the Mickey Rourke performance, but
that I thought it was Mickey Rourke.
Big same. That was the first thing that popped out of my brain. Mm. When I started hearing the performance, I was like, this is not a singing performance. This is choosing to speak select words from the song Wild Thing. Like that's what this was. It was not singing. Maybe yelling, perhaps, missing lyrics. I loved when the judges were trying to be like, oh yeah, you definitely like you did your own thing. Oh, that's the nice way of saying it.
Yeah. Like, Interesting choice. But I was besides myself when we got to the end of the night and the result wasn't, you know, and the person leaving is the raccoon and the snail, get back in line. You're good to go. I was floored. I could not mm-hmm. believe it. It was wild. It was awful. Now let's look at the clue package here and see if we can figure this one out. Cause this one is a very interesting one to me.
Okay.
So in my darkest days, I faced death. Their favorite story is the Hunchback. There was like a magnifying glass. There was a switchblade. They said that they were a monster and they promised if they get a second chance, they'd like do well by it or whatever. And then we got the singing. And then in the performance, like, did you notice the flamingo was in a garbage bin or no?
Oh, yes. Like when he went, turned around and then lifted up the, oh, is that what you're talking about?
Lit up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what I have in my vault. I don't mind doing that for the raccoon because I do not think this is going to be a long world and tenure here. So I ended up, if I could remember who it was, it'd be, I think I told you yesterday. Can you remind me who I told you it could be?
Danny DeVito and someone else.
Not Danny. I thought Joe Pesci was not a bad choice. I do think I'm getting a little bit of it could be Danny Trejo though.
Okay.
Just based off cadence, I don't really know much about him, but just based on conversation and like the way he sounded, and I say conversation, no, it is not singing because that wasn't singing. It was just based on a little bit of the cadence in the clue package, but I don't know. I have Joe Pesci. It's someone like that, right? It's someone seasoned from Hollywood. I don't think there's anything else I can tell you that would lead us into a direction or the other. I don't know much about the Hunchback of Notre Dame. I don't remember the cartoon. I don't remember the story. So I don't know if anyone has talked about it prominently in Hollywood. I have no idea. But do you have any directions you would like to take this?
No, I don't. But I mean, I think that that's definitely an interesting thought. I mean, the clue of known for being sharp. I mean, literally the role he's known for is machete. Right.
Yes. So like, yes. But I looked out for a machete. I didn't see one.
I know, but that's the clue. It says known for being sharp. And that's what he's known for.
Oh, OK. Well, that
he's been
me-
to jail. I know. And then
dude,
he, like,
I need the Cloodle Doos. I should pay more attention.
Yeah,
that
was the Cloodle. That was the Cloodle Doo.
Yeah, I know.
Cloodly do.
I know.
The magnifying glass that I have, I don't know. I'd have to go read his Wikipedia page, but those are the only things that I know. Because didn't he work as like a probation officer, like after he got out of jail? Because he was in jail when he was younger, and I'm pretty sure he had addiction issues and stuff, which I think fit sort of the narrative of the Clue package.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he's not a singer, so that would also make sense with the performance. Him,
I'm sad because I love him, but uh-oh. I did not love this. What? Uh-oh.
Well, why were you sad?
Because like I hated this. It felt like I was being tortured. It was like, I'll tell you, on the rewatch, it was way funnier. I was watching it with some of my Discord people, and they were losing their minds watching this for the first time. So that was fun to see. But it was a lot more now that like the hit was gone. It was funny.
I did not have that same experience on the rewatch. It was somehow worse. I think because I realized how off, because yes. I'm trying to like really pay attention. So how off the performance was. It was the only, and this is going to sound horrible, but the only thing I could think of was, oh God, I have to listen to another performance from the wreck. I was dreading the experience.
That's when I noticed it only on the rewatch how bad it was.
Yeah.
Like, how bad the raccoon sounded.
It's bad. Like,
this is wild. How are you sounding this badly?
Yeah. No, it's bad. It's so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So bless the raccoon's heart, because somehow they survived. They survived to make it to the next round.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how. Mm-hmm. Looking at some of the guesses from the judges. Gary Busey, I was like, this is not a bad guess. Gary Busey could be a shout.
I know, right? It's the first time I've heard Gary Busey and thought, oh yeah, that could actually be it.
Exactly. I thought the worst guess was from Robin going with Danny DeVito.
That's not, just look at the body for one split second and you know it's not Danny DeVito.
Exactly.
There's no snail involved, so we know it's not Danny DeVito.
Is there anything else you want to talk about with regards to the raccoon? I think we just leave it because we're going to talk about the raccoon in more bigger detail the next time we see them, because they're not surviving this group.
No. I mean, look, yeah, the raccoon said that they were having the most fun they've ever had in their life. And so, you know, that's bless. Sweet. Bless.
Yeah. Good for you.
Good for them.
Yeah. Real quick, with regards to the wild cards, do they face off against the person who's about to leave?
See, that's a great. Oh, okay. So that's the thing. I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. If I were trying to guess, not if I was trying to guess. If I was coming up with how this twist was going to work, that's how I would do it. So essentially what I would do is I would say, okay, so-and-so gets eliminated. Oh, but they're not actually eliminated. They get one more chance to face off against the challenger. You know what I mean? And then if they beat the challenger, they get to stay in the competition. And then if the challenger wins, I guess the challenger enters the competition. That one I'm a little less crazy about, but that's how I would do it. Because otherwise, how does it work? Like, they just show up one episode and then all of a sudden they get to compete against everybody? I mean, maybe.
I think they have to earn their spot in somehow.
Yeah, but then they have to compete against everybody? Just one person?
So let's see. If I wanted to do this, right, this is how I would want it to happen. Because it's very clear that, like, if I'm a wild card person, they're like, okay, so you're going to now enter group A. I'd be like, oh, thank God there's someone worse than me. But
because
like, if you're facing off one, I don't want a showdown. I don't want a smackdown, because that is difficult, because you're also, that's someone who at least people know, maybe like the something goofy happens. I don't like that. What I think should happen is, okay, and now this week, the baloney is entering the mix, and the baloney is going to perform just like every other performer. And if they just survive being last place, they're in the crew now.
Oh, I see. Interesting. Then just because, have them start in the group, though.
I mean, I agree with that. But then what's, because I don't know what their move is. I don't know what they're trying to do here with this.
Yeah, you know? I don't know. I mean, We'll find out.
All right. So that brings us to the last person.
Robopine.
Yeah. Well, starts off as the porcupine, immediately stops us and says, hey, stop that. I'm the porcupine. I'm the Robopine.
I liked the Men in Black chiming in. The only time I think I've ever heard them speak.
It was very wrestling promo-ish. I did love that. I did love that a lot.
Yeah.
I love the Robopine so much. so
okay,
much.
Okay, wait. Can I say something? So we were listening, we were watching the premiere, and the seashell walks out, and Puya goes, dibs, because, like, she's the type of person I would want to pick for my team. So as soon as the Robopine, like, started singing, I was like, dibs. Now, we've decided to not honor the dibs. I mean, mutually, we've agreed that we're going to go into the draft without dibs, but I just want to point that out, that, like, both of us had reactions to these different contestants.
I would never talk with you again if you made us.
Well, I want her, so, and I'm sure, and I know you want Robopine.
I want Robopine.
I know you do. I know.
Yeah. Robopine's my guy.
I know. Robopine's your guy. Is he your mushroom Pharrell? Or is it more like, I'm obsessed with you?
I've listened to the performance like multiple times now. Uh-huh. I'm hella vibing. This is like when, like, I don't think I'm quite your levels yet of like, ooh, I'm now going to listen to this the whole time. But I feel that energy coming off of me. So I did love that. And like, it's been a while. Not since season two have I felt this way about a performer. I just felt it. I felt the vibe. I love the comedy that came with it. I love the attitude, the style, and like the singing. It just, all of it together was the perfect recipe for me. I liked every bit of it. And like, here's the thing. I have a guess for who this could be. And it's based on no clues. It's based 100% on the singing voice.
Okay.
So, but it's contingent on the fact that the 60-year-old comment was a lie.
Okay. I'm actually super. Okay. All right. Well, hold on. Can we, do you want to just go ahead and talk about it? Because I'm actually so curious to know whether or not you think that's real or not.
Okay. So do you want me to talk about the package as well?
Well, I don't know. Do whatever you want.
So the clue package was like, you know, I'm prickly, but don't be scared. And then the Matrix theme, like, it was like a ones and zeros binary code, Matrix style kind of thing going on. There was a key lock thing there. There were two DNAs and a spaceship. They said that they used the 411 day and night to make connections until an angel said hello. Mm-hmm. So that was an interesting thing that happened. So that was, you know, that was the thing I wrote down. And then nobody can touch me. And then boom, we got to like the performance. And based on the voice here, for me, I think that this could be... Should I tell you?
Yeah, tell me.
Okay. And this is my vault guess. So if I turn out wrong, like I've already announced this is my pick.
Okay.
I think it's Tyrese.
Oh, really?
I think it's Tyrese Gibson. Yes. And this is why. So okay. I heard the voice. I'm like, this voice sounds very familiar. Very familiar. And then I was like, I think it could be Tyrese. And then I YouTubed some Tyrese tunes. First of all, went right back into time. Great listens. But I was like, it sounds way too similar for it not to be. And I think the attitude is there. The jokiness, like, it fits his personality perfectly as well. Now, I don't know about the clues. Watch. I'll like analyze the clues this next week. And I'll be like, I was wrong. But based on just voice alone, I feel very decently that it could be, but obviously we go back to the one thing that's holding me back, because I knew I was coming in saying this guess, because if I'm wrong, it's because of the fact that this person is over 60. I just can't buy that they're over 60. That felt like a very weird thing for them to say. But then I don't know, maybe the judges convinced me that he's not 60 because they were all outraged about it. So I don't know. I don't know if I fully, because I think they shouldn't be able to lie. This is like, In any, you know, this isn't Big Brother or Survivor. Like, you can't lie when you're giving us clues to figure you out. You can't throw me off by like blatantly lying to my face. Like,
I completely agree.
Yeah, putting a picture of a meatball and then be like, well, it's a Swedish meatball. It's like, well, that wasn't in there, but like, I see, like, you can say that with some plausible deniability. But like, if you're actively telling me you're 60 and then you're not 60, like, I'd be mad. I'd be very mad, especially because now I've gone both feet in with this one.
So here's, yeah. So my personal opinion on this is 100%. I agree with you. I think you can obfuscate the truth, but you can't straight up lie. And by being like, I'm 60, how else? Because we've talked about this when it comes to the Super Bowl, when it says, oh, a Super Bowl appearance. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So I performed at the Super Bowl. Fine. I get it. But to say I'm 60, what if they're like, but I'm 60 in dog years. Like, I don't, and I've dog grandkids or something like that. Like, oh, like, when does it end? I don't know. I don't know. So that's my only concern, that it's something weird like that. Mm-hmm. But to say six, like 60 specifically, it just feels so weird to reveal so many detailed things about yourself right away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I am so confused, because I was trying to put together the clue package, because I love that this clue package has so many uniquely worded things. Like the line that you brought up about used 411 day and night to make a connection till an angel said hello. I was like, oh my God, there has to be so many clues here that I can misread into. Or the George Washington statue, or this mission to get on Hollywood's radar. And there were just like so many things that I wanted to pick apart, but I felt like I was limited, because is he 60 years old? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the clue package. Things to note, there's also a soda can in the package. So that's the thing.
Okay. Hold up. Let's try to fit these clues to Tyrese Gibson, just to see. His career began when he auditions for a Coca-Cola commercial.
Oh, and it looks like a Coke can. It's like red and white.
It looks like a Coke can. I actually wrote down that it was a Coke can.
Oh yeah. What's the George Washington thing about?
Bing a bag a boom bong bing. I have no idea. I don't know what the angel thing thing is either. Because I would say, okay, so here was the other thing too that I thought, was that I think he got famous first, and then it was the whole like, oh, I want Hollywood to notice me, which makes me feel like I have success as a singer, and then later I became an actor, which does sort of fit with your guess, because he was singing, right? And then much later came in and did all the Fast and Furious movies. So. Yes. That like that sort of fits. What else? I don't know what the angel thing means, or the 411 thing for that matter. I need to look at all his hits.
Could this be a link to is this someone who's like associated with Lionel Richie in a way? Could that be a thing? Because Lionel Richie was the original hello, and then obviously we have Adele's hello now, which are the two iconic hellos, but I think this is leading to Lionel. So that's something we could look at. The 411 is an R&B band from the 2000s. That's a thing we can look at in the future. Their origin is the United Kingdom. So then this would be taking us to England a little bit. Mary J. Blige had an album called What's the 411? Could they be associated with Mary J. Blige? That's also a thing that could be going on.
That's the fun part, is that if you have a guess, we can make anything fit. It's so fun.
It's not, because I'm here like, oh, Tyrese, and then I'm going to be standing. And then in like episode 9, it's like, well, it was this quarterback from 1987. And it's like, well, okay, I was wrong.
Yeah, you were very convinced that it was Pharrell.
Ultimately, I love the Robopine. I love the Robopine, and I love this performance, and I listened to it multiple times. I'm going to listen to it more. Aww. And hell, I'm going to listen to more Tyrese again. So that's fun too. But yeah, that's where I'm at.
Look, that's the fun part, is that even if it doesn't end up being him, like, remember when I guess Busta Rhymes was on the show, but like, you know, you get to sort of like relive and recapture.
Yeah, after Busta Rhymes was unveiled, for like 3-4 straight weeks, I listened to nothing but Busta Rhymes, like hours and hours of Busta Rhymes. So
yeah,
definitely the rekindling of love for some of these musicians, whether they're on the show or not, that comes from Masked Singer alone is worth the price of admission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that actually happened to me today when I thought for a split second it could be Good Charlotte as the Russian Dolls. And I ended up re-listening to that whole, what was the album? The green one, you know, the one I'm talking about that's got like Lifestyles of the Rich and the Famous and all that stuff.
Yes. Wasn't that called Lifestyles of the Rich and the Famous?
That's what that album was called. I don't know. I listened to the whole thing twice today, so I should know.
Oh my.
Oh, The Young and the Hopeless.
The Young and the Hopeless. Okay.
Yeah, I listened to that album twice today.
So you listened to that instead of listening to my podcast?
Okay, let me explain. I was doing stuff science-wise that I couldn't like process a podcast. Okay, I just had to have music on in the background. You know this.
I guess I'm not as good as Good Charlotte.
Ugh, oh my God.
Okay, so Nicole paid $50 to guess Jamie Foxx. What do you think of that decision?
Bad bet. I mean, I don't know anything about gambling, but yeah. But as soon as she said it, I couldn't help but feel like I was part of a New Girl episode. I was like, Jar.
Yeah, I do love the jar element. I think this is actually very fun. I would have called it something like The Bin, but that could be our thing. We could call it The Bin. When one of us makes a bad prediction, like you made it earlier with the Lisa Turtle in The Bin.
Why do you think that's bad?
Because Liana, that's like, remember when you like reprimanded me for the chakra rocks and chakra Khan and you were like, that's stupid.
Yeah. That's okay. Why. Fine. Fine.
In The Bin.
Bin 'em.
Bin 'em. So Robin Thicke guesses Genuine. I Googled Genuine. I looked him up. Leon, how old do you think Genuine is?
I don't know, like 45.
Genuine is 50.
Okay, so close.
That's nuts. I would have never thought Genuine was 50.
Why?
I didn't think Genuine was that old.
Well, I know. Okay, all right. Well, let's see. When was his first hit?
Was it Pony? 1996.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It was 1996, and he would have been...
I didn't know that Pony was from 1996 either, though, in my defense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, he just turned 50 last year.
Yeah. I heard In Those Jeans first, and then I heard Pony later, and I assumed that In Those Jeans would be... would have been the first one.
Wait, but when was In Those Jeans released first? When
2003.
Okay, that's from 2003. Yeah, okay. All right, that fits with my mental timeline of being alive.
It's so funny. When you look up Genuine on Google, you know, on the right, it gives you like the short bio before you click on the Wikipedia. So it says spouse, children, and then cousin says Donna Meagle.
Oh my god, I love Wikipedia. That's
how
fabulous.
Yeah, like how would Robin Thicke know stuff like, ooh, Genuine's from Washington? Like, that is nuts. If anyone
because
has
I think,
that kind
because
of
I think they're like friends, you know what I mean? He's in the music business. I'm sure he's met Genuine before.
I know, but like, you know, no offense to our friends, but I couldn't tell you what their origin is or like what city they hail from. I can tell you where they live now.
I'm sure you could at least know some of them.
Some, but what, like, is Robin his son? Where are you from? You were born in California.
Yeah,
and you're from Colorado.
Yeah. Okay. See there. You know, I'm sure Robin Thicke.
Yeah, but
I'm
committed to you for life. That's different. That is. Is he committed to Genuine for life? Is anyone?
I don't know. In Those Jeans.
Is there any more room for him in those jeans?
is there any more room for Robin Thicke in those jeans? I'm sure that's what Genuine was singing about. I guess it would have been Robin Thicke's jeans.
Robin Thicke's jeans. Okay.
Girl, you looking Robin Thicke in those jeans. All right, I'm done.
So
how many toes do you think Genuine has?
10.
Do we know that for sure? Maybe he lost a toe.
But do we know that for sure?
The problem is that there's just so many toes. Because if it is 14, total of 14, then someone still has an extra toe. I don't know. It's complicated.
You are too zeroed in on this toe thing.
I'm telling you, the toe is the key. If we figure out the toes, we unlock the rest of the puzzle.
It so isn't, though.
Just you wait. Just you wait and see.
Well, we shall see. So the snail gets revealed as the eliminated singer. Liana gets outraged, gets off the couch, walks away, then comes back and sits down. We get the final guesses. Now, when we were on the couch, you said Adam Carolla, my guess, final answer.
Mm-hmm.
You said that.
I did.
I said Andy Richter.
Yeah. Well, I think we were both stuck on the late night talk show teddy bear co-host thing.
Mm-hmm.
So like I couldn't get past, I was like, it's got, because I was like, well, it's got to be Andy Richter. And then I was like, all right, let me, who else is sort of fits that role? So that was where I came up with Adam Carolla, which when both Jenny and Nicole guessed him, I was like, yeah, here we go, baby. And then both of them disavowed And they were like, no, that's not right. I was like, no.
Immediately.
No. They were
like, nope.
Man.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, I will tell you this. Jenny clearly did not know who this was, because there is no world where she genuinely guessed Ted Cruz. No.
That was such a, shut up. Like, Sarah Palin, in retrospect, it makes sense. I mean, it doesn't make sense, but it makes sense. Ted Cruz does not make sense. It just doesn't.
Yeah. Like, what's the clue? I didn't see anything about a vacation and lying I didn't see anything about abandon in the clue package. So that was a stupid guess, Jenny. You're dumb. Billy Crystal was interesting. Jay Leno made sense because we were guessing Jay Leno. I when Robin Thicke doubled down on Seth MacFarlane, I thought in my head, I'm like, no offense, Robin, but there's no world where Seth MacFarlane gets on the show and then goes out in the beginning. Like, he's going to make it far.
I don't know. It could be one of those things where, yeah, I don't know.
The one time deal. I don't know. I mean, what are we going to say about this? So, like, do you think Kermit the Frog had a one episode deal with Fox? Like, I'm only going to do one.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. What I do know is that I was sad to see Kermit go. But I like the reveal. They took the hat off. There's no one there. And then boom, it's Kermit the Frog. Now, I want to talk to you about this, because your reaction last night to being Kermit the Frog was very much like you were losing your mind. If this has happened. You've changed your tune, but I want to catch the essence of last night.
Okay. So let me try to go through what was running through my brain last night. So first of all, the snail somehow is eliminated, which I was completely incensed by. All right. So I have this heightened sense of being like, you got to be effing kidding me. And then a frog, Muppet, puppet, whatever, inside a snail. I just, like, my mind was blown. I just got up. I just left. I was like, nope, I can't do this right now. My body can't handle this right now. I need my mental space and time to process what I am watching. I don't even know how to describe it with words. It's just this feeling that I have. Oh, what a mess.
This is the most Masked Singer thing to have happened. I think this for me, this tops getting Sarah Palin to do Anaconda. Or no, she didn't do Anaconda. She did
Baby Got Back.
Yeah, the original, the main. So this was a fun start. It was very gimmicky, but I did like it. I think technically, here's the thing. Kermit, not a person, right? Not a real person. However, Kermit, definitely a celebrity. So Kermit has more reason to be there than Dr. Right. Elvis.
Yes. Ultimately. Okay. So that was sort of ultimately what I ended up coming, what settled my distress was that Kermit the Frog is indeed a celebrity.
Yes.
And it's so weird. I can live with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at peace.
I am also at peace. Yeah, I think ultimately, Liana, this was a great first episode. It got me hyped for the rest of the season.
Same.
Until inevitably, maybe I get big mad about one of the gimmicky plot twists they've got ready for us. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, Masked Singer's back, and I'm happier for it. Ultimately, it's going to add a little bit of flavoring to my Wednesday nights that I didn't know I wanted.
No, I'm very excited. I feel personally invested. I think the fact that I know that there's only, at least at the moment, 10 contestants makes it a little bit easier to stomach for me. And now one of them has already been eliminated. And right. I have my, like, at the moment, personal rooting interest in the Russian dolls, which I'm sure will, you know, may change or whatever. But there's already somebody, one contestant, that I'm curious to know how this all turns out. So overall, very excited, very happy, had a super fun experience with the premiere, brought out a lot of emotions in me. So you know what? I couldn't ask for anything else.
Big same. Big same. I'm happy I get to cover the show with you week in, week out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're gonna be back next week.
And until then, Liana, where can people find you? What do you have going on?
You can follow me on Twitter at Liana R-H-A-P. I am podcasting about RuPaul's Drag Race, a season that also like brings me joy, but at the moment won't end. So because no one's getting eliminated. So maybe I was just so happy someone got eliminated from The Masked Singer because I'm not getting it on Drag Race. But it's always fun with Beth, Amon, and myself talking about all of that. And then, yeah, otherwise you can follow me also on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lianaism, talking about a lot of dumb stuff, Animal Crossing, The Sims, Big Brother Canada, Fall Guys, Among Us, all that jazz.
Yeah, you talk about Fall Guys on your stream?
Yeah, we go into in-depth analysis of Fall Guys. JK, I just suck at Fall Guys.
You do not suck at Fall Guys. You can find me on all major social media platforms. That's Twitter, Instagram, twitch.tv, Puyaism for all three of those things. I've been talking about 90 Day Fiancé with Rob, and I will continue to do so. The season hasn't finished yet, but it's starting to slow down. But as you know, 90 Day Fiancé is a year-round sport. So I will be talking about that continuously over on the Rahap Ups Network. That isn't changing. And I will be talking about The Circle with one Taryn Armstrong over on the Rahap Ups Network as well. Keep an eye out for that. It hasn't started yet as far as coverage goes, but the celebrity season is here. And then in about a week, season 3 is starting. So all of that is happening and can be found on this very network, the Reality TV Rahap Ups Network. And please, if you haven't left a rating or review yet, feel free to do that. It'll be very much appreciated. You can do that over on robhasawebsite.com/maskedsinger. That's MASKEDSINGER. I would really, really appreciate that from you. We currently have 84 ratings. My goal is for us to get to 100. If we get to 100, that's a whole 100.
That is the big 100.
The big triple digits. Yeah, that would be amazing. And I would appreciate that. And that's honestly the best way for us to get feedback on what you like, what you don't like. Hopefully more like than don't like, but we'll see. And yeah, we'll be back next week talking about the, I'm assuming, Group B, right? They haven't alluded that we're going to go back to this group again.
Okay, hold on. I saw this somewhere. So okay. We're getting... I'm pretty sure we're getting the Group B next week. Yeah. Okay. So next week we're getting the Group B premiere. And then the week after that, the description is the Group A wild card round. Enter the wild cards. So I don't know if this is going to be a situation like you were describing where the wild card shows up and then now we're back to 5 contestants, but there is, or we add 2 of them because I saw 4. So I don't know. Very curious to see. But of course, we have to meet our Group B performers first.
I'm very much looking forward to that. And I can't wait to talk about it with you, Liana, next week. But until then, you know, have fun, take care, and we'll unmask you at the Group B premiere next week. Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.